thank you. Oh, no, let's do this first. Yesterday, yeah, ADD over the page here. Pray for Pastor D. Yesterday was National Armed Forces Day. If you've served, stand. I can never do this. I always cry. I cry at the Pledge of Allegiance. Father, we thank you for our men and women that have served you. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. Father, we thank you that they have served you and served us. And I know personally, I don't know all that it cost. And I don't know all the sacrifice. But Lord God, you know. And you restore and you make things greater. And your blessings, Father, your blessings upon them and their families. In Jesus' name, amen. I cry every time we do this. Man. Gosh. Hallelujah. All right, now you get to do this. No, okay. All right, now I can't see out of my eyes. All right. All right, let me start. Let me tell you a story. We're going to start. Hallelujah. Years ago, Jack had a favorite restaurant. Jack and I had a favorite restaurant that we liked to go to because he would order General Tao chicken. And he had this one particular restaurant that he would go to. They really loved going to because hot, like sweat out the nose, just all over. And he thought that was wonderful. So all of you that know me, I don't like hot. I like spice, but not hot. So we would go to this restaurant, and I would order the eggplant veggie stir fry. It was wonderful. They had the little baby eggplants in there. It was so good, so good. So we would go to this restaurant. Now, the interesting thing about this restaurant is they had some problems going on, okay? They had some, now, no cockroaches or anything like that, okay, when I say that. There was a place we went for a pizza one time, and we came out with a little thingy on there. So that was not the problem. That was like 20 years ago. So that was not the problem with this restaurant. The problem with this restaurant is you'd walk in, and they wouldn't even smile at you. Yeah, no, it's not good. All right. And then we'd sit down, and the waiters were just not friendly at all. And if any of you have known Jack, big personality, like he is going to jump all over you, jump on your lap. He is super friendly. And these guys were. Okay, so we would still put up with this and go to this restaurant. Everyone's like, oh, D, I need General Tao. I was like, oh, gosh, this restaurant. So we put up with it. Now, just this past month, someone recommended a restaurant on the east end of town. It wasn't an Asian restaurant. It was just this restaurant. And we went in there, Sherry and I, and we were actually meeting another pastor couple there. And I'd never been there before. I'd heard about it. And I was like, eh, you know, I'm trying to impress this pastor couple. It was actually Pastor Sam and Shirley and Smucker who head up the Rhema Regional. So, you know, I want to impress them. I want to take them to a dive. But I kept hearing good reports. So we went to this restaurant. Incredible. We walk in the door. We about get the door and the first foot in there, and they're like, hi, how are you? So we go to the desk, and we say how many people we're going to have, and we start talking right away. They start talking right away. The girl that works the front desk, what do we call that, the hostess? And she said, oh, where are you from? And where would you like to sit? Would you like to sit at a booth? Would you like to sit at a table? I was like, wow, this is crazy wonderful. So they finally seat us, and then our waiter comes. And we're talking back and forth, and I noticed he had a slight accent, Eastern European. So we started talking. He said he'd been in the States for a year, and we just had a great time. And then he was a top-notch waiter. I mean, sometimes they pull up a chair, and I want my food. I don't want to just really talk all the time with you, right? But I want my food. So he was great. Every time we needed drinks, water. You guys, get your head in the place. Okay, water filled. They filled it up and all that stuff. So it was just a great experience with this restaurant. It was just a great experience. And since then, I've told people, you ought to go over there. The food was wonderful. The service, outstanding. All right? Now, this is what I want to talk about today. Okay? Because there's a principle I want to talk about. Now, the General Tao restaurant was very unfriendly. Unlikable. They were very unlikable. And the restaurant on the east side of town was very likable. And why? Well, we'll get into that. And the reason why I want to talk about it is, as church, as a church, we ought to be very likable to people. Yeah. And as believers, you ought to be very likable, because we are called to go to those who are far from God. So we ought to be very likable. Amen. This is going to be an amen service, all right? I want to hear some on this side. Okay, so I'm starting a series. It's a two-week series, this week and next week. And the title of the series, you can read it, Fan, Friend, or Followers. Fan, Friend, or Followers. And what I'd like to do is cast vision. And really, I'd like to talk about the vision at YCF. Now, many of you have heard it for years, and you know it, all right? So our vision at YCF is we gather to worship. We gather to worship the Most High God. We gather to worship God, all right? And so that's the first part of vision. The second part of the vision is we grow. So you should be growing personally in your personal time with the Word, with the Lord, all right? And then we actually grow because we start connecting with one another, all right? We can grow in friendships. Now, I'll tell you what, I was bragging on my grow group. I see Angie over here and Vanessa, and I forgot who else was there. But we grew actually in the Word and in friendships and just in a lot of great ways, you know? Kind of miss you guys. It's been a couple of weeks, okay? So we gather to worship, we gather to grow, and we grow individually, and we grow connectively. And the last thing, which I really toy with, I should make it the first, the last part of our vision is to go. Go, all right? And we go, the vision is to go to those who are far from God. Everybody say far. From. That's our vision, to go to those who are far from God. Now, all right. Actually, the go part is why we exist. The go part, to go to those who are far from God, is why you exist. Because after you get saved, you become a follower, that's it. To go to those who are far. To help them connect to the one who you connected to. So, when I think about connecting with God, okay, I connect with people, but the most important thing is to connect with God. When I think about that, the first time you connect is through Jesus. You receive Jesus into your life, and you connect with the Father, and you connect with Jesus. That's the first connect. Everybody say, first connect. But there's more connects. Then after you have received Jesus into your life, all right, you keep connecting through the Word, through growing and maturing, and how about being one of these really positive, outrageous, wonderful Christians, okay? You keep doing this. It's not a one time only, so it's a continual thing. And, you know, this is what I think is awesome about church. Church, first, it should be a place where people can connect that are brand new to this. Church should be a place that if you don't know anything about who God is and how much He loves you and all that Jesus did, church is a place where you can connect, all right? And then the crazy other part is it's also a place where you can connect if you've already are walking with the Lord. And what you can be a place where you mature. So that's kind of the vision of church. It's connecting for people for a first time, or get to know a first time, and those that do, we keep maturing, all right? Because babies, we don't want that. So that's our vision. Now, people kept asking me, okay, Pastor D, you got the vision. And actually, that was our vision. That is our vision. I just added a couple words to it. It used to be worship, Word, and the work of God. Now it's worship, the Word. You know, the work is the grow part, and the go is still the go, all right? It's still the go. The vision really didn't change. It just kind of fluffed up the 21st century words. But then people said, Dee, you need a mission statement. I'm like, a what? A mission statement. And I thought, yeah, we have a mission statement. I went back and read our mission statement. It was like a book. And therefore, I didn't remember it. Okay? So, you know, how do we take the vision to, we gather to worship, we gather and grow and connect and go. How do you take that and make a mission statement that's not something you're going to forget? So today, I'm going to give you our mission statement. It's the top words on your page: fan, friend, or follower. Now, a mission statement. A mission statement is how you do the vision. Okay, great, Pastor D. Nice bunch of fluffy words, but how do you do it? That's a mission statement. How do you do it? All right? So how do we do it? How do we cause people to connect to God? Okay? This is the mission. This is the mission statement. We desire to have them become fans, friends, and followers. Okay? Anybody can't remember that? Good. Fans, friends, and followers. That's the mission statement. That's how we cause people. So today I'm going to talk about fans. The next week I'm going to talk about friends and followers. And if you were here a couple weeks ago when I did the Trinity series, we talked a little bit about being a follower. I'm going to just make that a lot bigger. But today we're going to talk about fans. Okay, now, our vision is to help people connect with God, and it's a process. This is a process. A fan, all right? The next one is, and a fan, it's just that they start liking God. Some people have some goofy thoughts about God, right? Oh, he's so mean. He's so bad. He did this. He killed that, all right? So we want them to connect that God is good. That's the first part, fan. The second one says follower, right? And a friend. And a friend is when they finally do meet Jesus. They receive him. And the last one is a follower. So today, we're going to talk about a fan. Okay, and I was so hot in here today. I was like, yeah, this is appropriate. Okay, a fan. A fan is someone who has not yet connected to Jesus. Someone who's not yet connected to Jesus, okay? They haven't met him. Not yet. Now, religious people might not have connected with Jesus. Anybody know some religious people? And you go, yeah, they certainly have not connected with him yet, all right? Even people that go to church might not have connected with Jesus, right? Atheists, okay, they're like, no way, they've not connected to Jesus, right? How about, it's very interesting. I know a lot of very moral people. Anybody know some really moral people? They got it down. But they really have not yet connected with Jesus, okay? And then I know some crazy, grade-A, top-notch sinners, and they have not connected with Jesus, okay? I mean, they just score 10 on that. So our goal is to turn them, all of them that I just talked about, turn them into fans of God. So that's our mission statement first. We're going to talk about fans. How to turn them into fans of God. And actually, you're it. You're the guys that do it, all right? So our goal, turn them into fans. And as Christians and as churches, same thing. We want to turn people into fans of God. That's why we exist. Amen? So when we turn people into fans, they begin to like. So our goal is to turn them into fans so they'll begin to like, come to know, and like God. Real simple. But something has to happen to us. That's what I found out. Something has to happen to us in order to make people fans. Okay, now, when I think about the General Tao restaurant, kind of not likable, and then the one on the east side, likable, one of them really had an understanding of a principle, right? And one of them really did not. Really did not have an understanding of a principle. And, you know, churches can be like that. Okay? Not this church, okay? But churches can be like that. They're like, the pastor, man, he just really serves up a good meal. But, you know, that church is just really kind of unlikable. I got some things that are just really unlikable. Anybody ever been to a church like that? Let me tell you a story. Hair in my mouth here. Gosh, such a bad hair day. Okay. Years ago, Jack and I would do scuba diving. That was our vacations. We'd go places scuba diving. We'd always pick the most expensive port to do. I was just, for crying out loud. you know. So many times we'd go to an island and we'd contact ministers. Okay, these were, I never say small churches. They were growing churches, right? We'd contact them and say, hey, would you like a guest speaker? We're in town. We're going to be vacationing. So we did one, what was that? Anyway, that island over there. And then we went to this island. This island, Jack was asked to be the speaker, and I was actually going to do a training for children's ministry. So we walk in that church Sunday, and because it's Caribbean island and it's stinking hot and super bad hair day all the time you're down there. So we get there. Church started at 8:30. How many of you would have been there? Can you imagine? 8:30, church started. I was like, oh, Toledo. So we get to this church, and we're the guest speaker. So guess who's, you know, we get there early. So we got there. Somebody had opened the door. There was a bunch of people milling around. And we walk in, and we walk in. And you know where the guest speaker always sits? Front row. So we go in, and we sit down on the front row. And the building was about this size. And we're sitting there, and we're there about 15, 30 minutes, somewhere early. And we're just sitting there. We're sitting there. We're sitting there. We're sitting there. Okay, and then this side of me rises up. We're at the wrong church, Jack. Nobody said hello to us. We're at the wrong church. So we're having this nice little thing going on. In a whisper. And I finally convince him to get up, walk out of the church. Because I remember when we walked in, on the front of the building was the name of the church. And I swear, we're at the wrong church, Jack. He comes back. He goes, gets up, walks in. Now, church has not started. We're here early. Sits down. He goes, we're at the right place. Okay. We are a very likable church, boys and girls. But I think we can grow and take it to levels higher. Amen? We can always grow because God, listen, as long as Jesus is still hanging out up in heaven, we have time to keep growing to higher levels, all right? And I don't want ever that to happen. And I always said, where's Pam? I remember telling this, I always tell this to my greeters ministry. You are the first hit when they come in the door. Because that was the worst feeling, sitting on that front row. I was dying a thousand deaths. I felt rejected. I mean, was I doing it or not? You know, it was horrible. And I was like, so I always say, listen, we smile. Okay, well, I'll get ahead of myself. All right. So so what I want you to get when you walk out of here and never forget, ready? This is the big idea. Likeable people, we're a likeable church, but likeable people like people. Likeable people like people. Say that. Likeable people like people. All right. This means we create fans. You become likable to these fans. You know, not the fan like this. The people we named, okay? When you become likable, like these fans will, they'll come. They'll come crazy, okay? So real important. Likeable people like people. All right. Now, you as Christians, you should have this or desire to be more likable. More likable, okay? And the root, the real bare bones of being likable is you like people. It's really simple. Likable people. That's the root of it. You like people. And churches should be real likable. Not like that thing that happened to Jack and I, right? Okay, likable people like people. And you know, when people, they'll like us back. I found that. You just be likable, they like you back. And then though they become fans and can connect, okay? Now, as Christians, you have the upper hand. You have the advantage compared to someone who does not know Jesus, a non-Christian. You know why? The day you receive Jesus Christ, God puts something inside of you. God put his love, his nature is love. He went boom, and he put that inside of you. So you take likable love. You've got this love inside of you, the God love, not my love. Okay? God put his love in you. That takes likable, like up here. So we can do it at a higher level. We can. Because what do you have inside of you? The love of God. The love of God. God is love. God gives his love. That's what's inside of you. So listen, you should be like amazing high five likables. Gonna have a t-shirt, likables. All right. Now, how does this work? I want to show you how this works. But first, I want to give you a test. You don't need a piece of paper. Don't start sweating if you're like, used to freak out when they do tests. The only person that's probably going to know your score is your spouse. You don't have to write anything, okay? The name of this test, don't touch your cell phones. You can Google it later. Okay, and you don't need them to look at your Bible because I gave you all the scriptures today. Okay, the name of this test is called the waiter test or the waitress test, whatever gender you are, okay? Now, imagine you're walking into a restaurant that you've never been before for the very first time, okay? First time, never been there, you don't know anything about it. And you walk in and you get seated, all right? And then your waiter comes to your table or waitress, whatever you like, okay? How do you treat them? That's the waitress test. How do you treat them? Do you treat them like they're just a server? That's it. Or do you smile at them? Hey, score. Okay. Do you even talk to them? Like that when they serve you water or something, do you say thank you? Man, this is in York County. I heard bad things about you. See, I'm not from New York County. So I say that all the time. All right. How about, do you look them in the eye like they're not, or they're just a piece of furniture? I have been out to be, I've been out to eat with people. I wanted to kick them the way they treated a server. Okay. So how do you treat them? That's the waiter test. Now, your spouse probably has got all your answers because they know you, but you don't have to tell anybody. All right. So the idea is if you treat people well, that makes you likable. If you treat people well, that makes you likable, and that's because you like people. All right? You like people. Now, if you don't treat people well, listen, I've had to work at this. I'm Jersey. Okay? I've had to really grow with this. Don't feel bad. You can grow too. You can grow. If you're not good at this, you can grow. You can grow. You will grow. Because if I take you out, I'm going to kick you under the table. All right? So, listen, if Jersey can grow, anybody can grow at this. Amen? All right. So this is a really good test because in God's eyes, every person is valuable. Oh, Pastor D, you don't know my neighbor. Oh, no, I don't know your neighbor. But in God's eyes, your neighbor's valuable. In God's eyes, those waiters and waitresses and service people, they are super valuable. All right? And what Jesus wants us to do is to see people that way. Now, some days, it is all I can do. Matter of fact, I can't do. I can't do. So I pull on what's inside of me, and I can do. Does that make sense to anybody? Made sense to me, all right? So Jesus wants us to see people no different, just valuable. Real simple. So, you know, that makes it really easy. Oh, yeah, they're valuable. Are they valuable? No, they're valuable. They're valuable. That's the way Jesus wants you to see people. They're valuable, okay? Now, some of you are very likable people. You do the very likable really good with your friends. But then when you're not with your friends, you just don't think. You just don't think about people. All right? So listen, again, this is not Jersey natural. I have had to renew my mind, the Bible says, and go, Holy Spirit, I need your help. And you know what? I've been doing this to the point where I just think I'm really, okay. So I went to pick up the key. I know, I am not ADD. I had to pick up the key for the pavilion bathrooms. Aren't you glad I picked up the key to get into those bathrooms? They're pretty cool bathrooms, okay? So I went to, right across the street, West Manchester Township Police, the building, okay? Beautiful. I walked in there, I go, man, this place is beautiful. This is where our money goes. It's just gorgeous. So I'm telling you what, it's got little stones, natural stones and woods. It's beautiful. So I go up to the front desk, and they can't find the key. So, you know, we probably would have been, need the key. So I'm waiting, and I'm there 20 minutes waiting for, they are frisking everything. And there's two young guys that come in. Turns out they're college kids. One is coming to pay a kind of bill, and he should have been across the walkway over there. But so I, now this is not Jersey, guys, but the Jesus in me, I turn around, I go, hey, sorry, I'm taking so long. And the young guy goes, oh, that's okay, I'm really tired. I said, you know, Jacob used to say that all the time. I said, how come you young things say you're tired? I told him all about Jacob. I get on Jacob's case. They're like, I said, these 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds, you always say you're tired. And he starts cracking up. He goes, I'm 18. I said, come on, I'm 62. I think I should be tired. All right? And, you know, we started talking. Guess what? That was not Jersey. That was God's love. I'm likable to somebody I'm trying to, become a fan. So much fun. So much fun. Like, I'm probably annoying. I'm really, it's just so much fun. So come with me if you're bored. We'll do this. All right. I don't know where I am in my notes. All right. So, okay. So I had to grow with this. All right, on your piece of paper. So I had a lot of fun. There was a study conducted by UCLA. Okay, you see that? UCLA conducted a study. You know, when the world talks, sometimes you should listen. Okay, these are the 3 points. We're just going to go over them really quickly. All right, number one, this is what they found out. Likeability is not inherent. That means you weren't born with it. I was like, yeah. Now, listen, your mother probably said you're so likable, okay? Not. You are not born likability. You're not born with that. Interesting, okay? Number two, likability has nothing to do with being attractive, super social, talented. Guys, none of that matters by being likable. For sure. How many of you know somebody that they're just drop-dead gorgeous? And they are not very likable. We were talking about that person. Okay. All right? They don't go here. We prayed. Yeah. Okay, how many people you know, someone like the super social butterfly person? I don't know what they call boys. Okay. And you found out they're not very likable, are they? How about somebody that's really gifted and a talent in an area? I hung out with them, and I'm like, man, they are not likable people. So I like this. I really like this. Likeability is not inherent. Okay? And number two, it has nothing to do with being attractive, super social, or talented. Praise God. That excites me. I don't have to, because, you know, on a good day, maybe. All right. Number three, what's it say? Likeability is a result of learning emotional intelligence. Oh, 10 years ago, that was like the big terminology, and I've got 2 books on them. It was very interesting, very interesting. But you know what I liked about that statement? The word learned. Look at that. Likeability is a result of learned. Oh, learned emotional intelligence. So you know what that tells me? You can grow in it. Okay? You can grow in it. I have grown, and I'm pretty sure some days I still keep growing it. Okay, so I, like I said, there's lots of stuff on emotional intelligence, but the bare bones, the foundation of this is having a love and a care for people. Because when you have a love and a care for people, you'll want to see them connect. You'll want to interact with them. so that they can go from a fan to a friend and then a follower. All right? So I have this really dear friend, and I've hung out with her for years. And one day we were in this situation where she actually had to correct somebody. And I commented, I said, "Man, you do that so good. You always have a smile. You're kind. You're friendly. You're not demeaning." And this is what she said. I had to write it down because I was not born that way. That's right. That was number one, right? Look what she said. "But I have made a dedication to God that I am going to love people like Jesus did." I was like, yep. That's a decision that you can grow, all right? So that, guys, will make likability, and you're going to like people, and then they're going to become fans and so on, all right? So, you know, Jesus talked a lot about that. How many of you know the Beatitudes or the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, 7, and I can't remember if it's 8? One of those scriptures is, he says, "You are the light of the world, so let your light shine." Okay? So I'm going to say it again. You are the what? The light to who? You know, and I hate when I stick that word "world" in there. Because you know what happens? We think something far away or a globe, you know, the old globes, they probably don't even have them. But, you know, you are a light to people. Man. You are a light to people. So let your light shine. Okay, so what he's really saying is the only way that people will know God and know about him is through you. Guys, the only way that people are going to know who God is, what he's like, is through Christians and through churches being likable, liking people. It's the only way. Okay? Now, some of you say, "Oh, Pastor D, but you know, I'm from Jersey. I'm from York County. I'm not really qualified to do that." What happened the day that you received Jesus? What was put inside of you? The love. So guess what? You're qualified. You are qualified to grow in it, and you are qualified to be likable all the time. Likable, okay? So we can all grow in it. Turn over to Matthew. No, don't turn over. We have our here, right? Yeah, I'm so used to saying that. Hallelujah. Matthew 5. Now, I deliberately picked the Message Bible. I deliberately picked Bibles that you guys probably don't haul in here, okay? Because sometimes you just know the scripture. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, whoever should believe in him, and not a bad blah, blah, blah." Okay? And it just kind of goes, whoop, whoop. So this is why I'll pick different translations for my benefit too. And I'll like to get some of these out that are just really easy. So here we go. Matthew 5:14. This is out of the Message Bible. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be a what? You're here to be a what? A light. Bringing out the God colors. Bringing out all that God is to the world. That's why you're here. That's why we exist. Okay? You're here to be a light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. Verse 15, "If I make you light bearers," that's what's inside of you, "you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand." Hallelujah. "And now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine." So how do you shine? Keep reading. "Keep open house." It's talking about you, me. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. All right? By opening up to others, you will prompt people. You will prompt people. You will connect other people. Oh my gosh. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God. And this generous Father in heaven. So what he's saying is, you are light. You are supposed to be likable people. And you just keep your door open house, so that they will connect, They'll see you and they'll connect and want to know who he is. All right. They'll become fans. They'll want to know. All right. So then they're looking at your life and you go, oh, man, you're a Christian? I think I want to hear what you have to say. Because you smile and you're likable and you like people. Amen. All right. You like people. Everybody say likable people. Like people. So how do we help people connect? You display the love of God to people. You display that. You display that to people. It's just, and it's fun, okay? Hallelujah. Listen, we do a great job here at YCF. I'm telling you, okay? And praise God, we do. But I know we can keep growing at it, right? Take it to another level, all right? Now, how many of you have read in your Bible where Jesus says he's coming back? He's coming back. I read that, all right? He is coming back. But the very interesting thing is there's some things that are going to happen when he comes back. There's some things going to happen when he comes back. And when he comes back, and nobody knows the day or the hour, okay? So if you read it on Facebook, just turn it off, all right? Man, all right. But when he comes back, there's going to be this incredible, miraculous revival in the whole world. In the whole world. It's going to be great. And the incredible things, if you just want to get a little sniff and a flavor of it, is go read the book of Acts. Go read the book of Acts, you know, where the deaf could hear. Well, there's going to be masses like that. And where the blind could see, there's going to be masses like that. Where the dead are raised, there's going to be masses like that. That on this end time revival before Jesus comes back, when he comes back, okay? So, now, do you ever ask why that's going to happen that way? Why is that going to happen? Well, this is me. This is my terminology. God wants to do one big sweep. All right? He wants to get this one big sweep. Now, years ago, I would get so focused on this, you know, this, I just think about, man, it's going to be so cool, this just incredible, miraculous revival that's going to go on, you know, and there's going to be this big sweep, and it's like, this is like, you know, everybody says, this is the dinner bell that gets people to come, man, it's just going to be crazy. And you know what? I sort of forgot, I did, about being likable. I was so fixated. Jesus is coming back. This is good. Crazy things are going to happen. Jesus is coming back. Crazy things are going to happen. Okay? And I forgot about the likable. And the Lord, he's so cute. He corrects you. And I bet he's likable, so I'm pretty sure he does it with a smile. And he says, you know, that's going to happen, but you can do so much more, and you can be so likable that you are bringing people to become fans. All right. So you know, sometimes the tendency is, oh, I'm waiting for this big sweep, and people just sit down and they wait. And God corrected me. He says, no, you have a great part. You can be a part of bringing people to become fans, to become friends, to become followers. I said, okay. So I got my act together. This was about 10 years ago, and I just started looking at this and being active, being an active person that helps connect. And it's a lot of fun, okay? So what do likable people do? They like people. All right. So getting back to this piece of paper here. I really had fun doing this and kind of making it into Jesus here. Okay, the study at UCLA had about 20 or 30 points. I just took the top five that I liked. Okay? Top five. Now, the first three are so obvious. You're like, duh, Pastor D, fifth grader can get it. Number three and four, I mean, they're really cool. But number five, this is where I saw Christians trip up a lot. Okay, so we'll talk a little more. But the first one, what does it say? Traits of likable people. Number one, what is it? They're very positive. Now, how many can agree that you don't like hanging out with Debbie Downer and Negative Norman? No. All right. So likable people are positive people. Now, one of the other studies said positive people have more friends. Yeah. Okay, the other one, you'll love this. Positive people live longer, 10 years longer. Not touching that one. How many of you want to live longer? Be positive. Number two, traits of likable people. Likable people smile more. They found a smile on your face makes you more approachable. That's like a no-brainer. Do you know what? I get service faster than anybody else. Because I stand there, hi, how are you? And they're like, and they look for the person with a smile. It's like, yeah, oh yes, you can help me. And then meanwhile, it's like, I cut in. I didn't cut in. Smile, baby, smile. Okay. Hallelujah. They also said that the more people smile, the more creative they are. So if you're having a bummer day, can't think of something, just go, thank you for being creative. I'm creative. Thank you for creative. Actually, it worked because I was not in the peace zone concerning this picnic on a detail. And I said, listen, I have the Lord Jesus Christ inside of me. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, the creator, the creative one in me. And then I got this. And the next day my answer came, Stacy, put it in a bag. It was like so easy. Okay. Praise God. Likeable people. Likeable people listen. Okay. We are living in a time where people, you know, I have a meeting and you have a meeting with me and I have my phone out and I got a new phone, so I'm trying to figure out how to use it. And I'm texting while we're supposed to be talking. I want to just pick up your phone and chuck it and say, hey, would you listen to me? With a smile. Yeah. But listen. It's so tempting. So, if I call you into my office, especially, I'm getting really good at this, I will either turn my phone off, stick it in my purse, shove it in my drawer, and then I can't remember where I put it. It's so cute. Okay? Because it's tempting. It is like super distracting. Okay, but listen. Likeable people listen. And you know why they listen? Because they care about you. So grab their phones. Okay, grab their phones, take it. Hallelujah. All right. How many of you can grow in that? Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, come on. Raise your hand. All right. Number four, likable people display empathy. Empathy is when somebody tells you something that's not working in their life, that's gone wrong, where they've had a loss, or empathy is when they're celebrating something in their life. Okay. Everybody think of, and when you have empathy, you display empathy. I'm able to connect with what's going on, the emotion in your life. Likeable people display empathy. They genuinely care about what is going on in your life. Likeable people display empathy. Now, you know, I'm pretty sure I wasn't born with a whole lot of that. I have had to grow, all right? And I am not the person I was 40 years ago, in a lot of ways, okay? So I have grown, and it just tickles me. Like, I want to look in the mirror, like, who are you? And I say this all the time. I was talking to a woman, and she was telling me about something going on with her husband, and it was pretty bad. And this is empathy. You know, I get where he is. I can get what he just did. Now, I didn't say I agreed with it, but that was empathy. I was like, I get it. You know, it's still not right, but I have this emotion connection where I really do care. All right. Okay, likable people. What? Display empathy. All right. And listen, if you've received Jesus into your life, you got it. You may be like me. You have to grow at it. But if you've received Jesus, you got empathy. All right. So likable people. Last one, number five. This is the one that Christians trip up on. Okay. Red, you want to read that with me? Likable people aren't judgmental. All right. This is so once you receive Jesus Christ into your life and you start learning scriptures, you're reading the Bible, you're like, whoa, really? I didn't know that. And then you start living it in your life, applying it in your life. Anybody apply the word in your life? Yes, you do all the time. You guys are just fantastic. Okay, you start applying it in your life. And then it is so easy to look at somebody and say, man, you are really just a terrible person. I can't believe what you're doing. And I become very judgmental. I think I was a queen for judgmental, you know, but not anymore. Hallelujah. All right. Now, it is easy to look at someone that's not living like you think they should and to be judgmental. It is easy. Okay. Now, not talking about Christians. Okay. Now, listen, the believers, let's say, Eli's been coming to church for a real long time. Just know Eli, and I know him. We have a relationship, and I see something. He's really just not living right, and I'll say, hey, Eli, buddy, come on in my office. I want to sit down and talk. See that? Okay? Now, first off, I have a relationship. I know the person. That's when this happens, all right? And also, I actually pray about it. I was like, Holy Ghost, just do it for me. I hate doing this. I hate doing this. Go pray. I pray for him. Pray for him. And like 9 out of 10 times, yes, I don't have to do it. But when I do, I come in with a smile and I start coaching them, not slapping them, all right? And say, hey, you know, this area in your life you probably need to work on. All right. Now, but when someone's not a Christian, I don't expect zip out of their life, the way they live their life. You know why? They're not a Christian. They don't have the standard. They don't have the love of God. They don't have the knowledge of God. And we're just freaking out because I can't believe they did that. Guys, don't expect. In the right way. Don't expect and don't be blown all over the place because a non-Christian is acting like they're a non-Christian. Their father is the devil. Okay, that's what the Bible says. All right, so likable people are not judgmental. Okay, now, it's really interesting when you go back and you read the Gospels. Go back and read the Gospels all about Jesus. Go back and read that. And people who were not like Jesus, liked Jesus. It was just made. Go back. People who were not at all like Jesus. Okay, in case you didn't know, Jesus was the Son of God, came to earth, the most perfect person that ever touched down the planet from the planet here, right? Perfect, perfect. He didn't sin, never messed up. He had a 10 on the holiness scale, all right? And you know, he had a 10. I didn't have a 10. Those people didn't have a 10. They were sinners. And yet, everybody who encountered him liked him. Everybody, every sinner. And listen, he rubbed shoulders with a lot of not nice people. But okay, sinners. Grade A, 10 points, sinners. And they liked him. Except for the religious bunch, and we won't go into that. Okay, all right. So Jesus was very likable to people who didn't live like he did. Isn't that interesting? Very likable. So what's our next one here? Did I do that? All right, turn, yeah. Look over at 1 Corinthians 8. Okay. So here we have Jesus, and just about every non-Christian liked him. Every non-Christian liked him. And you think about that scripture where Jesus says, he who is without sin, he who is with... He who is without, okay. Yeah, how about that? And listen, you know what he was really saying? No matter where you are spiritually, you are not supposed to pick up that judgmental attitude. All right, slice and dice and chuck them out. You know, and people do that. They come to, so somebody walks in here, they're dressed differently, they look differently. You're like, what are you doing in here? Oh, man, okay, you need to straighten up and fly right before you come in here. You have just judged, thrown stones all over because someone looks differently, acts differently, you know. Wait a minute. I thought, oh, wait a minute. Didn't he say, come as you are? Didn't he say, come and hang out? So our churches should be, hey, come as you are. Come hang out. So that they can become a fan. So they can become a friend. So they can become a follower. All right? Amen. Okay, where are we on? 1 Corinthians 8:1. All right. 1 Corinthians 8:1. This is what can happen to Christians. Not this bunch here, because we're very likable. Right? Here we go. But, here we go. Now, about food sacrificed to idols, we know that we all possess knowledge. Okay, what he's talking about is a bunch that says, we know you all know the Word of God, inside out, upside down. We all know you know that. Okay? So he says, we know that we all possess knowledge, but knowledge puffs up while love builds up. Those who think they know something do not yet know as they ought. Okay, so what he's saying is you may be the most knowledgeable person of the Word of God. I mean, you've got every book of the Bible memorized, but listen, you can have all that knowledge, but you can be a stinking, judgmental, prideful person because you're always picking up stones and judging people. Okay? And that's disgusting. God's going, no, 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 don't do that. You are here to display me to the world. And, you know, picking up those judgmental attitudes is not displaying who Jesus is, who God is, all right? So, next, all right, hallelujah. Our mission statement, hallelujah, our goal is to be more likable, like people, become more likable so they can become fans, so they can connect to Jesus. All right, next scripture, 1 Corinthians 9. Oh my gosh, don't look at your watch. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 9:22. Yes, whatever a person is like, I try to find common ground with him so that he will let me tell him about, so that he will let me tell him about Christ and let Christ save him. Okay, this is the great Apostle Paul, and he said, I tried to find common ground. All right, now, first off, Paul went into cities that no one ever had been to, that these people didn't know who Jesus was. They didn't know anything about him. So he would go to these cities, and they were pretty bad. I mean, just goofy things, bad things going on. And he said, what? I try to find common ground with them so that he will let me tell him about Christ and let Christ save him. Okay. So when I meet people, I try to find the common ground. Especially if I see they got a bunch of kids, I'm like, oh man, baby, I know what that's like. They're struggling with two kids. I said, oh man, I have four kids. And they're like, oh, I try to find a common ground. If I see somebody that's got a Raven sweatshirt on, I start teasing them. I said, you know, Steelers. All right? I'm just trying to find common ground. Listen, I'm not going and doing drugs with them. Okay? I'm not cussing and effing in this. I'm just trying to find something common. And it's really easy. Just, you know, you're smarter than a fifth grader. All right? So common ground. But listen, our tendency is, oh, I learned the Bible. Oh, I'm going to live like this. And, oh, man, you aren't. And you start judgmenting. Don't do that. Common ground. So that they can become a fan. So that they can become a friend and then a follower. Really, really wonderful. All right, so what's our likable people what? Yep. All right. Let's do the last scripture and it will close up. 1 Corinthians 9:23. I do this to get the gospel to them. I do this common ground. I am smiling. I am a positive person. Let's see, what were the other ones? I listen. I remember. Okay. I do this. Man, I love this. I do this so I can get the gospel to them, and also for the blessing I myself receive when I see them come to Jesus. Isn't it incredible when people meet Jesus? Isn't it incredible when you've been standing and praying for somebody and they come to meet Jesus? Man, that's the most exciting thing that happens when people come to meet Jesus. So the scripture, I'm going to read it again. I do this to get the gospel to them and also for the blessing I myself receive when I see them come to Jesus. Okay. Hallelujah. The heart of God is that we become more likable, grow in it, be and like people so we can tell people. A matter of fact, you don't even have to open your mouth. You become so likable and like people. You're just displaying this. You're just displaying this. And people will say, you know, I've been watching you. What is it? And then you just start telling them. You know, don't say, I'm a Christian. Just say, you know, I've met Jesus. He's came and turned my life inside out. And the person you see now is not who I was. And if you're tired of just doing your life, let me tell you. And then they're a fan. And then I can say, hey, would you like to have Jesus come into your life? Guys, it's really amazing. So Jesus is coming back. You can sit and wait for the great sweep. You're going to miss all the fun. You're going to miss all the fun, all the people that you start talking to. Listen, I'm by myself most of the time. Okay, so I just talk to everybody. It's like my mission now. See if I can get them to talk to me. Oh my God. I'm just down embarrassing. Okay, you want to be like that? You have that in you. You're called to be someone who displays. Okay, let's close your eyes and let's pray. Hallelujah. 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 You know, really, your prayer every day says, God, just fill me more with your love that I can display who you are. Before you get your feet on the ground in the morning, you go, God, I want more of you to just fill me that I can display you to the people you would put in my path today. Father, put people that are... the fans in front of me so that I can help them connect to you. So, hey man, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how to pray here. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. I believe, Father, your word is going forth clearly. And I thank you, Father, the word will produce that we will have on our mind likable people, like people. And we are on a mission. We are on your mission to bring them to the saving knowledge that only you do, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, eyes still closed, heads bowed. If you're here today and you'd say, Pastor D, I've been listening to you, but I think I'm a fan. I think I'm a fan. I believe that God exists, but I would like to receive him. I would like Jesus into my life. If you're here, and let me tell you, heaven is a real place. Hell is a real place. The Bible says that heaven is where you want to go, and hell is where you should shun. Okay, that means do not go, all right? So if you're here and you'd say, and you don't know where your eternity is, you don't know what would happen if you gave up your last breath today and you were facing eternity, you don't know, but now you do know. And if you'd like to ask Jesus, the Son of God, to come in, change your life, help you in life. If you'd like that, I'd like to pray with you. I'd like to pray with you today. If there's anybody here, just, you know, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you do 5 laps around the building and give me your credit card or anything like that. But if you're here and you'd say, Pastor D, and you know, if your heart's beating, you know, sometimes you're just like, whoa, what's going on? That's the Holy Spirit moving on your life. If you're here and you'd say, Pastor D, I need this Jesus. I need this life. You just raise your hand and I'll pray with you. Matter of fact, we'll all pray with you. If there's somebody here, just right now, just raise your hand up. Anybody? Right now, just raise your hand and say, Pastor D, I would like to ask Jesus to come into my life, to be Lord of my life. I would like to have this connection finally with all of God and his best. Is there anybody here? Okay. All right. Praise God, church. Church was fun, isn't it? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You are likable people. Amen. All right. So freeze. If you're driving a truck, I need you to go, and my guy's on the